Cheers!
Cheers! Well, it's that time again.
I'm Susan.
And I'm Annie.
And this is
Two Friends, One Show.
I'm so excited to like build on our last episode for this episode. Because I think this is where we thought we were going to go in our last episode, but it took this very different but needed and wonderful turn. So I'm excited for this one too.
Oh my goodness, me too. I really agree with you. I think we had this grandiose idea that we would just jump in, talk about all the therapy, you know, like how you're going to be diagnosed and what to expect. And then I realized, man, we have to spend time talking about finding a therapist and validating that experience and giving tips and tools from our experience, both as a receiver of therapy and a giver of therapy, the tips and tricks we've learned. But I'm very excited to talk about this first session.
Ooh, what does a first session? I wonder, I mean, now that we've been through therapy, I'd love to go back before I had ever had therapy and like ask myself like what I thought it was going to be. Do you know what I mean? Wouldn't that be interesting? Yeah. Like, what were my preconceived notions about? I think I probably thought you truly lay down on the couch, right? That's what you see in the movies. You walk in and lay down on a couch. Don't do that. That's weird. I mean, I guess you could. As a therapist, like if I was practicing therapy, I don't think I'd think it's weird at all.
Yeah.
If that's what someone needed and wanted for their session, hey, you do you. Get comfy. Whatever you need. You need a blanket? You need a pillow?
Continue. Okay. Laying on the couch. Tell me more.
Oh, I think that was probably my preconceived notion is that you would go in and lay on a couch. And if I were a practicing therapist, like that'd be fine with me if that's something that you needed or wanted to do. But in general, I don't think that's what happens.
I know. I love the like image of, you know, and it's actually reflected a lot in movies too, about like laying across like the camel leather sofa.
Yeah.
And they've got like their notepad and
staring up at the ceiling. Right. Yeah.
And the therapist just keeps going, and how did that make you feel?
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say that there's anything wrong with that question. I think actually asking people about their feelings is quite positive. But yes, I think setting expectations of the reality of, especially in a virtual world, what your first session can look like, how to prep yourself. There are some fun.
Ooh, yes. How do I get prepared for this? Ooh, yeah.
Because you can prep yourself. So the first thing I want to go over is that if we can just dive right in.
It's us. Dive away.
We're going for it. So you've
we come with our suits on. We're ready to go.
Power suit.
Dive in.
Power suit, power tie.
I was thinking swimming suit. Like we just came in our swimsuits. So let's dive in. But I like a power suit. Your therapist probably won't be wearing a power suit, but that's okay. That's all right.
That is actually a great thing to set. Your therapist will not probably be wearing a power suit.
No.
Or a swimsuit. If they're wearing a swimsuit, I would caution that experience, I guess.
If it's in person, you need to leave. If it's virtual, also go ahead and just end that meeting.
Yep. Regroup. So yes, you've gone through the frustration. We've ruled out an emergency. We're also working with our doctor. We've gone through the frustration. Now it's your first appointment.
Yes.
The expectation I want to set is that you're going to fill out some paperwork.
Boy, howdy, are you?
And it's going to feel intrusive and lengthy and frustrating.
Yeah. But it's needed. If that helps at all. These forms are not a torture device.
Yeah.
I think they're needed on a lot of levels. I mean, there's some of it that's needed like for insurance and billing and all of that sort of purpose. But also, your therapist needs to know some stuff about you
Yeah.
to help, like, set some parameters on this journey to kind of know where to go. So, yeah, but yeah, there's definitely some paperwork.
And a huge thing that you're going to talk about is consent. And consent is super, super important. We should probably do an entire episode on consent just in its very existence, not just in like a sexual aspect or in a medical aspect. Like, but consent is, especially from now the practicing person's lens, right? Like when I was in the on the other end of it and having to fill out consent, I was just like, oh my God, I'm gonna sign these forms as fast as I can. I already know, like, I just want to see my therapist. And that's fine too. I mean, totally validate that experience. But it's so important for us to know that you are here, you're participating, and you consent to the services, and that the scope of what we do isn't all encompassing. Like, you know, like a practitioner can't fix everything. That is not, you know, like this isn't a magic pill per se, that there is a finite scope of what we can do. We are just that tool in your tool belt. Then the other part of the consent, I think that's so important, is the piece of like, if you're in danger or you're endangering like yourself or others, we have to tell people. Like, that is a part of the oath that we take. It isn't a personal thing. It isn't like, it isn't just like a strictly ethical thing. Like, we have to, we abide by these laws in practice. So consent feels like a lot. And the paperwork, I think you're totally right. You're going to fill out questionnaires. Likely there will be a scaled question. I would expect that, like, you know, a scale to 1 to 5, like, you know, the, you know, things like that. So I would, you know, expect a big chunk of paperwork. It's okay to not feel like it's super important. Just know it is to the practitioner. Like, that's fair. Don't come to therapy to fill stuff out. So.
And I think at least my in my more recent experiences, both virtually and in person, a lot of this paperwork was sent early by email. So if you don't want to take that first session and you're able to access it through a computer or print it out and fill it out, that a lot of this can be done ahead of time.
Love it.
In the comfort of your own home on your own computer, you can go through all of this and get it back to that provider before you even show up.
Yeah.
I don't think that was true, however many years ago I started therapy. I remember it was a lot of sitting with the clipboard in the office that first visit, filling all of this out.
Oh yeah, with like the color-coded pages.
Oh, yeah.
You're so right. I think that is one of the huge advantages to the virtual world, is to be able, you know, that will maximize your time with your therapist. And you know, it's okay if you're too stressed out and you don't get to it. You will probably use part of the session because you're going to have to, you know, expect to have that filled out before you can start your session. Don't be irritated if like you have to take part of your session if you don't do it ahead of time, because we just have to have those proceed with practice. There's legal parts to that. We have insurance on our end for like malpractice. So we have to follow these things to make sure that we are serving correctly and within our scope. It's, yeah, it's really important. Although it feels, and I can say this honestly, because I've been the receiver on our end, it just feels like, you know, it's not on our end. I'm using that too vaguely, because I'm both a practitioner and, you know, a receiver of therapy. But as the receiver of therapy, I can be like, this felt frivolous and stupid. And I, especially because usually you're not, you know, nobody goes to therapy with like a super chillaxed brain. You know, usually you're frustrated and, you know, like,
Just come feeling all just totally fine and good, and just like, yeah, let's do some paperwork.
you know what? I was just really feeling like therapy would be super fun. Let's just dig into those core wounds. Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, it was very true. So yes, expect paperwork. It's okay if you don't find a lot of value in it. Do take it seriously. Answer honestly, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please answer honest. Like, this is, I shouldn't say this is one of those times. You should always answer honestly. But there are some other forms at some other doctor appointments that I maybe don't answer as honestly. Please do with this one.
I would say counterpoint, always answer
You
honestly.
should. I am. Please do as I say and not as I do on this one. And honestly, it'd be different now. I pretty much completely stopped drinking. So, but
Good for you.
did I know what box to check on that yearly doctor's appointment about how
Oh,
many
yeah.
I'm having? I knew what box to check so that I
Did
could
you
get like a little, are you okay? But not get too much pressure.
know that doctors triple what you put on there? And I have been very honest with my doctors. Like when I was bartending, I was drinking a lot. And I was
Yeah.
like totally forward with my doctor. And, just because I thought, well, what if it's related to something I'm feeling, or medical? I'm very cautious of that. I always feel like there's like a ton of crossover. So I've been like painfully honest with my doctors.
Yeah.
And then having Aaron's mom be a nurse practitioner, she was joking about that. And then I started laughing like super hard because I was like, dude, if they're tripling, I mean, they must have known I was telling the truth. Because if I was tripling that amount, like I would not be alive, I don't
Right.
think.
No, that'd be way too
Confident
much.
a person cannot live through that. And so I just thought that was so humorous. But yeah, they like on an average will just, I don't think they necessarily put that in the computer, but they account for people not telling the truth.
Gotcha. But you're right. You should always tell the truth to your providers.
Yeah.
And especially in therapy. We need to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to know.
Yeah. We need to, because maybe, how we talked about ruling out those kind of emergent situations?
Right.
And maybe to you, this doesn't feel like an emergent situation. But if you answer honestly and we start talking to you, it may be an emergent situation that
Right.
you're just not, you didn't know, right? You've been so high functioning. So if it's out of our scope to get you the tools you need, we need to know. And
Yeah.
that is like so important to me, particularly as a practitioner, because I think probably I think I could share this with most practitioners, is like probably our biggest fear is to contribute more to the problem than the solution.
Yeah.
You know, because
100%.
yeah, so it's kind of a help us help you and just be honest.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first, my first tip is expect paperwork, sidebar, be honest with it.
Yeah. Yes. No, and you're totally right, because I'm thinking if therapy is a tool that's helping create tools for you, like we want to give you the right types and sizes of tools. So if you're not filling out that paperwork correctly, like I don't want to give you a giant hammer that's this big that doesn't even fit in your hand. Like, tell
Good
me how
point.
big your hand is so I can get you a hammer that fits in your hand.
Yes.
So yeah.
Exactly.
I'll be honest next time I go to the doctor, I promise.
Okay. I love that. I love to hear that. That makes me feel great.
You're right. No, you're totally right. I did a bad thing. I shouldn't have done that. I should have
Oh
been
my
honest.
gosh. It's not a bad thing. You're honest and transparent. That's to be
Just
honest and transparent.
owning my stuff, and I'm gonna do better next time.
That's awesome. It's part of, yes, I love that. I love that. Yes. Okay. Sidebar. So you're going to go in, expect paperwork,
Yeah.
be honest with it.
Yep.
To prep yourself for the appointment, I have some ideas.
Ooh, are we talking about an in-person or virtual or both?
I think this one can qualify for both.
Both. I love this. Perfect.
The first one we kind of covered a little bit last session, and it's don't book anything huge before or anything huge after. Like, right, you're going to need to give yourself some processing space. Bam, so important.
Oh, yeah, especially if like that you're new or pre kind of starting therapy. Oof. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially on the first appointment, maybe schedule like a phone call with your BFF afterwards.
Yeah.
Just, hey, I'm starting this journey and I want to tell you like all the details about it. Like,
Please.
not, like, Yeah, that is huge, the pre and post time. And that stays true, especially the more you dig into your core wounds, and if you're really doing big work,
Yep.
bam, put that, because, like I talked about, I cried a ton in therapy and I didn't want to, like, it felt actually disingenuous and sort of selfish to go serve families, like, obviously looking like emotionally distressed. Like, they need
Right.
someone present and for them, not
That's
like
right.
absorbing their emotional space. So,
Exactly.
those are that's my thought. What are your thoughts?
On prepping, yes, I agree. Like finding the right time of day for you, and yes, leaving the chunk before, after.
I like the time of day. That is a great
Now,
added.
this is all if you can. I mean,
Sure.
at some point, it might just be like, I need a therapy session. I'm going to take whatever they have open. And then you can maybe work your day around it. But I always, as much as I possibly could, tried to like physically dress comfortably too. 'Cause like I already feel like I'm walking into an uncomfortable situation. And you don't have to dress to impress a therapist. Like they don't care. Obviously easier to do if it's virtual, but even in person, like this is all, you're already going to be sort of uncomfortable. You're going to be doing a lot of really hard emotional, mental work. Like, don't wear the pants that are too tight.
Yeah, good
Do you know what I
point.
mean? Like, just don't do it. Just put your comfies on and get ready to dig in.
Oh, I love that.
And
There's
if
so
you
much to say
can,
about
don't
comfort.
wear makeup. Or at
Least
least
no
get yourself
mascara.
waterproof.
Yeah. If you're like me, don't wear mascara. Just don't do it. Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. That is the most true statement. I think too, especially in that first session, be prepared for the question, kind of like, well, from the therapist, like, hopefully they won't be like, what are we doing here today? But, like, what brings us together today?
Yeah.
Why are we here? Like, and it might, you might, kind of depending on the person you are, maybe you've had time to think about it and you're like, these are the goals
Right.
I want A, B, C, and D. It could be that you're like, I am emotionally distressed and I don't know. And
Yes.
that's a fine answer, by the way. That is a totally appropriate response.
Yes.
You and your therapist can then start working that out.
I was gonna say, I was gonna 100% agree with that. It is okay to not know. And that is part of the therapist's job, is to help you figure that out. But it is your journey. Your therapist is
Absolutely.
not in charge. And I mean, and we can look at that two different ways. But I don't want people walking in thinking, okay, this person is now in charge of my mental health and they will fix it. No, you are in charge.
Amen.
They're just going to support you on this journey. You're in charge. So, but it, that saying that also, it's okay to not know. We will help you get there too. But that's why, yeah, filling out that paperwork and talking, like, share. You just got to start sharing, so then we can know kind of which direction we're heading. I don't want to head this way if your biggest concern and issue is the other direction. That's not helpful.
I think too, like, especially in that first session, about being kind of at least somewhat honest, if you are able to identify why you're
Yeah.
sitting there, which, again, if you can't, don't worry about it. Still
Yeah.
go. We'll put some regulation skills in there and we'll work to get to the bottom of it. But if you have somewhat of an idea, I think it's really important to share that out. And I say that too, like, from a practitioner's perspective, because, again, our scope is finite. So if you know that you are struggling with, like, you've been having like signs of like bulimia or anorexia,
Right.
and that, but you don't, like, you keep that on the back burner, like maybe thinking like two things are separate, and you're like, but I just want some mental stability. Please be open and honest about that, because that's not our expertise to treat, and we will delay you getting good treatment if we don't know.
Right.
So I think it's really important to be open and honest about what, and it's kind of why it's so excellent to A, be really open and honest with your primary care physician too, but
Yes.
also do that co-occurring diagnosis, so like you're working not only with your medical, but also with your mental health professional, because we really do want to treat you as a whole person. Like it's so important that we be open and honest, right? Like, and again,
Because it
I'm
all
sorry.
plays together. I mean, it's a tapestry, right? It just because you think, oh, my therapist is going to help me with this thing doesn't mean that we don't want to know all this other stuff.
Right.
And just like your primary care might be prescribing or helping with this particular med or problem or high blood pressure, whatever it is, but he wants to know all the other stuff you're doing also. Like, we all need to know all of it. So if anything, I would push you or suggest to overshare
I
a little
love,
bit.
oh, that's so juicy.
Overshare, and
Yes.
then we can help kind of all, 'cause just it all plays together. We are one body.
Yes.
There's no way that a weird physical thing happening in your toe isn't connected. I mean, it is just all connected on some level. So yeah, if anything, overshare, and
Yeah.
then we can help you decide what's like most important for the specific
Yes.
thing we're going to work on.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 I
Yes.
love this tip of oversharing because it is, it's like a great tool. Don't worry, we are therapists. I love being overshared with. It's literally
Ooh.
my job, right? So
Yes.
like don't feel like you have to separate. I love that. Don't feel like you have to separate the medical from the physical from the mental.
That's our job.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah. And if anything, you'll help us find exactly, or you'll help us help you navigate and find what's needed. Because, if we can't treat something in this scope, but we can find someone to help you if it's you have this niche thing that you're really looking for.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
The other reason I say overshare it, and I think it's especially for those people that don't know exactly why. Right.
Yes.
So if it's not like, because I'm at the point in my journey where I walk in and I say, okay, I'm going through a depressive episode. I know enough to know I'm back in a depression swing. Let's get those depression tools out. Last time I went to therapy, it was anxiety swing. Like, I know enough to know, but if you don't know enough to walk in and say that, we can't help figure that out unless you're oversharing your symptoms, unless you're telling us, I'm not sleeping very well. I don't feel like I'm in control. I'm crying all the time. My blood pressure is high. My pinky toe hurt. Like, by telling us all of that, we can help start to figure out what it is that you're not sure. You know something's not right, but you're not sure what it is. Give us all of that so we can start putting that puzzle together and being like, oh, hey, this is looking more on the depressive episode side. Let's start heading down there and see if that's right or if we need to adjust or whatever. But so yes, oversharing for sure.
I love that. And to just know that from a practitioner's perspective, that that's really seen as a positive thing. And I think, we're trained so much to like not burden people with just our existence, especially as females. My goodness, we are just, ugh. And just know we love that you are sharing. We love it so much. Like, this is our passion and our joy. And so let the floodgates open and just let's talk about it. Because I think too, like some people really kind of like what you said, if you've done therapy before or you're just that certain kind of person, you can come in with a specific goal and you can, I mean, you can totally do that. Therapy can work that way. Short bursts, get that cognition training in, build some tools and then you're done. But if you're like, and certainly times I've accessed therapy, it's just, there's just a massive amount of dysregulation.
Yes.
That's also totally okay. And
Yeah.
we're going to spend some time unpacking you can expect from your therapist, or at least you should. And I think this is really, I think, very important when you're sorting out a therapist. therapists should be all about you. You
Yes.
Feel like the most important person in that moment because you are.
Yep.
It's our job. And I think if you have a therapist who's spending a lot of time telling stories about themselves, that it's okay to not engage with that therapist anymore.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think you should expect a lot of open-ended questions. Like, you know, a therapist should be asking about you and then summarizing back to you to make sure
right.
that, you know, they're hearing you and listening correctly. That's a huge, I love the summarizing. So
oh, it is so important. And if your therapist is not doing that, you probably need to find a different therapist because yeah. We all take in information differently. So we need
yes.
to make sure that we are getting, and I say we as an LCSW, that as a mental health care provider, we are understanding you correctly. So that summarizing piece is really the only way to do that, to make
yeah.
sure that we're picking up what you're putting down in the right way and that
yes.
we're hitting the things that are most important to you in all of the things that you're sharing. So
completely agree. And I
so
would say
important.
Very likely in the first session with that paperwork, you will probably see some kind of treatment plan standardized outline. And I think, you know, if you're a really literary person or you want to know what's going in the notes, you can ask for those copies of your treatment plans to see what they look like.
Yeah.
And we can talk a little bit about, you know, moving forward in next episodes, we can talk about the relationship between that treatment plan and billing and why you will see certain buzzwords in there and why times are listed a certain way. But you probably have a really great organized therapist if you know those things up front in your first session. You should know who your therapist is. They should give you a little bio. It's just kind of funny because I was like, they really shouldn't talk about themselves. But at the very beginning, they should. They should tell you their qualifications, why they're the ones treating you.
Yeah.
And then what that treatment outline will look like.
Why they're qualified to be treating you.
It's important, you know, like I think that's like a really huge piece of
not just a dude off the street.
True, so true. So yeah, that should take place kind of in that beginning paperwork phase. Likely that is going to be done either virtually or in person. So you should talk about your treatment plans, not just in the pre-work, you know, like not in like the consent pre-work, but you should go over that with your therapist so you know what to expect and what their treatment plans look like and how you know future goal setting will look.
Yes.
Which again can be a lot to absorb if you're coming in pretty dysregulated, but
yeah.
that's okay. Just want to validate that that's okay. You can revisit that in sessions coming up, you know, to see what your treatment plan looks like, maybe quarterly.
Yeah, it should. I mean, and like you were saying, there's the insurance. If you're going through insurance, well, whether you are or aren't, there's an insurance and billing kind of game therapists have to play. So they're going to have to do that piece. That might not feel as great if you're reading it or kind of in tune or in line with like being with me as a person in whatever I'm going through.
Yeah.
But it on at the same time, it's on some level fluid, you know, it's going to move where you need it to move, or it should. A good therapist should be able to go where you need to go, whether
Absolutely.
That was on the treatment plan or not, because life happens.
Yeah. And I think you've made a really, really great point. Treatment plans are editable. They can
right.
be moved and changed. They are more of like a little bit of what you're talking about, that documentation. One, documentation is always really important because
yes,
we need to prove lots of things like that. We saw you that, you know, that we are setting goals, that we are being productive. We're not just hanging out for an hour and charging insurance. So, but the treatment plan really is your plan, right? So
yes,
my plan, and I can take that plan where I want it to go. It is just really proof that things are happening. So that we're trying different skills, and you know, you should see in there, like, you know, I think sometimes, especially with the way notes are usually portrayed in like media, like therapist notes, we usually hear them talked about because of a criminal trial where they make their way into a criminal show. That's really common too. Like, I always get kind of bummed at the representation of social workers in most TV shows. It all comes down to that, like what's documented in the notes or was there client privilege? And when you get your notes, you'll probably see much more things. Like, we're working on building this tool because the client is feeling anxious. Like, they're not going to be like, and then the client said, my parents said, and then it's not necessarily a word. So I don't think you can absolutely request your notes, and I think you should. Don't expect it to be a word for word of the things you've said. It's really more of a documentation of us making sure we're teaching you the right tools, why we're using those tools, and the skills that we're working on building in the future.
That is so interesting. I don't think I've ever asked for my notes.
I had not either. But then I was actually talking to my, because I at this point I was getting my LICSW and had an LICSW supervisor. And so I was really kind of just curious and like getting into those pieces. And it was really helpful. Both, it made me feel very assured as someone receiving therapy that, like, I guess it made me feel, and I don't know if our listeners will really identify with this, that like, maybe in a very stressed out, traumatic state, I'm not my best person. And I don't think I want word for word recorded about what I said in therapy while I'm completely dysregulated. And then as someone who serves the public, I'm like, oh my gosh, what would happen? It's just so personal. Like, I don't want my personal life out there. And once I realized that, like, notes aren't about recording, I guess it's probably a core wound, really. Notes aren't about recording all the bad things you do or like the messed up things you say while dysregulated. It has nothing to do with that.
It's
Has
record
nothing.
it's recording your progress.
Yes. Yes. And it's way more about the tools. Like, what tool are we applying? It is not about the deficit of the, which, just like you have alluded to, is a little bit of a billing game because billing is done on deficits where, and so treatment notes kind of have to ride this, like in between of like, yeah, sure, I have to bill to a deficit, but treatment notes aren't about recording that deficit at all. They're about what you're using to apply. And that is my stance as a practitioner, if I may, because I know
There you
other
go.
people practice differently. But
Sure.
so, yeah, I think that was very reassuring. And I hope that helps people feel reassured in their pursuit of therapy also, because I think there's a fear that people are just going to study the bad things about you.
Oh.
Don't you think?
I guess I never dug that hard into the notes. They just didn't matter to me.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Like, was I feeling better after my session? Great. Chart whatever you want. I could care less.
Chart whatever you want. I feel great. That's awesome. I
Like,
love that.
I'm making progress and things are getting better. So, like, do whatever you gotta do. So, and that just goes to show personality, right? So, I mean,
Yeah.
if it's bothering you and you want to see your notes, you have every right to ask for them. So go for it.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't, because if you're not licensed, just know that they might not all make sense to you and they are not,
Oh, for sure.
So take them with a grain of salt if
Oh,
you get them.
absolutely.
And it's okay if you don't get them too. If you don't care, you don't have to get them either.
Oh, yeah. I support both sides for sure. I think, yeah.
The other thing I was thinking, like what to expect in your first session, I think I originally thought in my first sessions I'd probably be like a total mess
Oh.
emotionally. And I think more often than not, your initial session, there's like no crying. And I'm like, well, wait, did I actually do therapy yet? Because it's that paperwork and getting to know you and what are your goals. and not necessarily immediately digging into every horrible thing that's happened
Yes.
in your life. So I'm thinking back to, and I've guys, I started therapy. Ooh. 16, 17. I mean, so I've been in and out of therapy my entire life.
Yeah.
That's a lie. If we count school counselors, which I do because I use them as therapists,
I love this theory.
I'd say like third grade. I called my first like family meeting with my school counselor. Anyway, I'm pretty sure I've told that story already on the podcast, but
It's like my favorite story, though, because
it
it's little social work Susan just in her third grade glory. Like, family meeting, guys, family meeting facilitated by a therapist.
should have known. I should have known sooner.
You're
Social
so
work.
cute.
But that of all the therapists I've seen, and I've seen a lot for a lot of different reasons, those first sessions don't tend to be as emotional as I
Yeah.
think sometimes you might think. And that doesn't mean that's going to be true for everyone. Some people are going to walk in and it's going to feel like a safe person that they can throw it all out on, and they might do it. And great. That's okay also.
Yeah.
If you just go for it. I'm thinking now, it usually was like that second session that it was like, here we go.
I 1,000% agree with that, and I think that's a great expectation to set for yourself in your first appointment,
Yeah.
especially if you're kind of one of those people that needs like all the information up front, which I think hopefully this is really providing more of that experiential lens. You're
Yeah.
right. I would say probably my first two, maybe three sessions. I mean, in my adulthood, I've grown into this skill, but I wasn't always a very emotionally open person. And I will, like pre-therapy, so it would take several sessions for me to kind of get to that point. But the first session almost always feels more like a doctor visit. Like you go
Yeah.
sign a bunch of stuff and then make your next appointment.
Yep. Oh,
Ta-da.
that's so true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You have a real general, like, I don't know, I'm not feeling great, so I'm here. Okay.
Yeah.
See you next session. And I want to validate that. It feels like that. And that's so common. And it
Yeah.
doesn't mean that that it was a bad therapist appointment. It doesn't, it's just gonna feel kind of like,
Yeah.
but it's also new.
Because therapy, and for those that haven't ever done it, it's not like a doctor's appointment. You don't make an appointment, talk about the one thing,
Right.
get the drug or the thing for it, and then you go home and you're done.
Yeah.
This is a very different world.
Yes.
It's not a one and done sort of session type of thing.
Yeah.
So don't expect this to be I mean, to truly work on your mental health, you're talking months of set, and those could be once a week, those could be twice a week. I mean, you
Yeah.
know, but it's lots of sessions. There's not just, you don't go in and be like, cool, you're depressed. Congrats. And then you leave. Like, that's not how this works. So if
Yeah,
you've
you're
never
definitely
done it
not.
before, just know it's not anything like a regular doctor appointment.
Yep. It's the beginning of like a journey, like a
Yeah.
hero's journey.
It is a hero's journey. You are the hero.
Yes, for reals. And it's the beginning, and it's not, the therapy sessions aren't the only part of it. When you start to take your mental health seriously, a therapy session is really just one part of that. Like,
Oh, yeah.
yeah. I mean,
Get
just,
ready for homework.
oh, you're gonna have homework. You're gonna build up your social circles. And I promise you, not all of it will be painful. Some of
No.
it's gonna be super freaking awesome. Like, oh, I had, okay, I'm gonna hashtag throwback to our, because we've talked a lot about social circles.
Yeah.
And I have learned something that is so cool. Why hobbies are so important. And
Okay.
We've always stressed hobbies are great because of all these reasons. I have found a very interesting crossover point between hobbies and social circles in that when you're really into a hobby, and that's transferable other places. Like for me, one of my favorite hobbies is like singer-songwriting.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have done this sooner, but we've started going to like an open mic night. And you just go and play songs you've written. It's super fun. But it's like this weird instant community of people.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized like making this big move to Ohio, and I waited almost like a year to go do, like we just started, we found, and just started doing like the open mic nights.
Yeah.
I was like, well, when I move to Ohio, I can just find the open mic nights there, which actually they weirdly have a lot of.
Of course, I love this.
And you build in your little social circle, and I'm gonna make friends. And like it, I was like, wow, hobbies have such a cool transferable piece to it of communities of people into the same thing. And I was like, dang, I'm realizing that's gonna like speed up my social
Your
circling.
social circles. Why do I hate hobbies so much?
I don't know, man. We gotta
I.
get you one. I still see DJQ in your future. I'm like, okay, every time I'm playing music in the car, because I'll, I love to like DJ.
Oh, yeah.
I think of you as a DJ and just full stop between songs, like CD change, and I love it so much. Like I just freaking
Do
love.
I mean if I could truly DJ that way, like I think I could get into it.
People would
'Cause
request songs. Like, no.
you've got to listen to the whole, I mean, I think we've talked about this on the podcast even. It just recently have I allowed myself to like skip songs on an album. Like normally when you still had CDs, and I still have CDs,
Oh,
but when I
yeah.
bought one, like you put that in and then you listen from the beginning. A lot of people put a lot of work into that album to make it just the way it is. You're gonna listen to the whole thing. There's no skipping, there's no replaying. You like this is a performance. It will hurt their feelings if I skip this song, even though I don't like that one. That's too bad. I'm not about to hurt the artist's feelings.
That's what I wanted listeners to
Oh,
hear, is your rationale between no skips is so just so you as a person. You're like, no, they
no.
made this for us and we are going to experience it and I
Yes.
will not hurt their feelings. And that just is amazing.
I know my brain knows. Nobody knows that I'm skipping a song. I know it knows, but my heart just won't let me. I just can't
Heart
do
wants what the heart wants. It's so
it. I feel like
awesome.
if I was a DJ, I'd have to at the very least make you listen to the entire song.
You're like, we're gonna be listening to Matchbox 20 because I've had a rough
It's
week.
been a rough day, everybody.
Start to finish. Okay.
Just the whole album. This is how I DJ, okay? It's been a rough day. We are going to listen to the whole thing. Get ready.
Just up in the booth, like
Maybe
Oh.
I'd throw some little like extra noises in on top or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But hobbies, I love this. To build your social circles while you're going to therapy. All of it together.
Absolutely. It's so fun to explore and find new ways and hopefully share them out in a way that people are like, oh, I get that. That might, it is so worth having hobbies.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I'm actually really jazzed about that, and I'm hopeful that it'll help me build a friend group
Yeah.
expedited a little bit. And I think it will. Yeah. So I'm really hoping.
I mean, how could it not?
That's what I'm saying. That, see, love that. Love it.
How could it not?
How could it not?
So do you feel, and this is a little bit off trail, but because therapy is virtual now. Do you feel like less of this? I've got to find a new one in my new place, and you can just keep your old one, or insurance going to allow you to keep? Like, do you have feelings around starting therapy somewhere else, or do you even have to do that anymore?
Well, I did get a notice that because any provider, so she doesn't accept my insurance anymore, so I'd have to pay out of pocket regardless at this point.
Okay.
Which is a total bummer, but who knows, maybe she'll become covered under them. You never know, right? In and out of
Yeah.
cover. But I'm sure I'd have to check. Okay, with insurance, if I went through insurance pay, I think I have to be in her same state regardless.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that would work in other, like in other situations. I think I would have to be seeing someone licensed in my state, you know, licensures through state.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if she could still be a tool in my tool belt, or if there was, cause I know that you can do like emergent circumstances.
Yeah.
So, I think I would have to find out. I'd probably just ask her.
Yeah.
And see what the possibility was.
But. Well, that's something for listeners just, I mean, to think about it. You know, if you do move, the more likely than not, you will have to find a new therapist.
Yep.
So a lot of this is going to kind of start again.
Mm-hmm.
I think because you've done it, it's, you know what to expect. It's less scary. You kind of get through that beginning piece again. But I think it's just good to know whether you're moving and have to find someone, or that therapeutic relationship didn't work out very well and you're looking for a new one. Like, this kind of beginning chunk and this first session has to happen again each time.
Yeah, good point.
With a new provider, because they need to get to know you and you need to get to know them. And so kind of expect that if you're, when, I'm going to say when and if you change therapists, because we've all had a therapist that didn't work and we've had to change.
And I think too, a really good point and a good sign of a wonderful therapist, and when systems work correctly and therapists are working for you, if you are transferring that therapeutic relationship, that should be a warm handoff. You are absolutely going to have to redo the paperwork, but you can take recommendations from a therapist. Like, you know, if you have to fire a therapist, which happens, and that's probably not going to be as warm of a handoff. Although truly, ideally, it absolutely
it should. It still should be though.
Yes.
It still should be. If your therapist is throwing a baby fit because you guys didn't mesh, they're not a good therapist.
Yep.
I mean, that is just, I mean, that is part of the medical and mental health world. Sometimes we don't mesh with people, and it's okay on both sides. It's okay on both sides to be like, this doesn't feel like it's working really well for one or the other of us. And I want to make sure you're getting the most out of your experience. I don't want to waste your time either. So if I'm not feeling this, I don't want you to be my therapist if you're not feeling it.
Yeah.
Then let's, So it should be a nice warm handoff regardless, but unfortunately not all people are awesome. Some of them suck. So,
and I am a firm supporter. And if you need to fire your therapist and the vibe's not right, do it.
Do it.
Absolutely. Please feel so empowered to do that. Like, any medical professional, if it's not working out and they are not treating you with care and respect,
yeah,
to the curb they go. Like,
yes, they are doing a job for you. Again, we're back to, you're in charge.
You are in charge.
I know it doesn't feel like it, because the system has set us up to think that doctors and therapists and anyone with letters after their name somehow hold more power than other people. That is not true.
Yep.
You're in charge. If it doesn't feel like a good fit or you don't like it, you stop and you move on.
Amen.
Yes.
Preach, preach, preach. Yeah.
Really. At any point too. It could be something that feels off in the beginning. You could be seeing this person for a long time and then there's a switch. Now they think they're your best buddy and it's not about you anymore. Yeah. Well, then it's time to move on to someone else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and I know we've talked so much about vision of this podcast, but this is really a huge part of that, is I really want people to feel so empowered in their therapy experience.
Yes.
To have that voice and space to say what you're feeling, to say what you're needing, to move on if you need to.
Yeah.
And you know, like, yeah, I just, that's really what I hope for people listening to this, that they feel validated in how frustrating it can be to find a therapist, and that they feel empowered to get what they want out of therapy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to know that you don't have to know. All you have to know is something doesn't feel right.
Love it.
That's it.
Yep.
If that's all you know, that is enough to start
Amen.
pursuing getting some help. The right providers will get you where you need to be as far as figuring out what that is. So don't feel like you have to wait till you have enough data or the right language or the right diagnosis before you pursue any of this. If it doesn't feel right, let's start looking at what to do. We'll help you figure out what that is as we get there.
Yeah.
I just my poor I know there's other type A's out there, and to me, I'd be like, well, I have to have enough boxes checked, and I'd have to know exactly what I'm going in there for before I'd start it. And that is
Yeah.
just, I think if I had known what I just said earlier, I would have
Yeah.
started therapy so much earlier and not started it for the reasons I did, for the emergency situations that happened. If that makes sense.
Oh, totally. And
You know
that was
what I
so funny.
mean?
Yes. If that was like listening to that, I was like, the one thing I wanted to tag on was exactly with what you added, or ended with, excuse me, where you don't have to wait for it to get to Point Break.
Yeah.
Like it's just exactly what you said. If something doesn't feel right, or you're like, man, I could really use some tools, or I feel some burnout coming, or anything like that.
Yeah.
Tech us in. We're stoked to help you work through it. Get
Yes.
those tools ready. If we need to, we'll outsource.
Yeah.
And to not feel ashamed or worried. And again, we're going to validate all the frustration it's going to take to find your therapist, because right now systems totally blow.
Yeah.
But we're stoked to be there for you. Like
Yes.
it's why we do what we do, you know? So I love that.
Social
Yes.
workers, therapists, counselors, behavior, all of these people are here because we want to help. And we're sorry it's so hard to get to us.
Oh,
You know what I mean?
well said.
But we want to help.
Yep.
So if you can muster up the courage to do that work, I'm hoping that the one you meet is there with open arms.
Hell yeah.
That's the goal.
Yep. And it's what you deserve for
Yeah.
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well,
Well,
guys, I got the shivers.
I love that. I love it. I think that's a
Oh,
oh.
I don't want to cry. Yeah.
Oh.
I just wish, like I'd said, that younger me would have known that when it didn't feel right, I could have and should have just asked for help then.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hurt I would have saved myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. From
So
your
don't
lips.
wait. Don't wait. If you can, don't wait. Just, yeah. Go get
Yeah.
the help.
What a wonderful note to end on. Like, if you can, don't wait.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Just, yeah, start the process.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. This has been a very fun episode. I feel like hopefully we've given good equipment, tools, and some tangible ideas so that you know what to expect in your first therapy session. And then I think next, I feel like we're ready to talk depression 101.
Okay. Oh.
If you're, what do you think? What do you
Love
think?
it. Yeah.
We'll
Okay.
cover. Oh,
I will
yeah.
say yes, but also the caveat that we like you never know what is actually going to show up next, okay?
Okay, I do love that. I will say too, especially that's probably a very great caveat, because I am moving to Ohio in like 7 days.
Yeah.
So hopefully everything goes well and there's not any, but moving across the country can come with delays. I think we've done a wonderful job of prepping, so
I
we
think
should have
so.
enough episodes to get us through.
Yes.
In case you see like a repeat episode, please know it comes with sincere apologies. And it's probably a delay from a move.
We're doing our best also.
Yes, like so hard. I am literally recording in a closet right now.
Yeah.
So,
I think our goal will be that the next new episode is Depression 101, but also, like I said, because we want to hear from you, if we get,
Oh, nice.
questions or stuff, like we want to head where people want to go.
Yeah.
And we are two people with lives and things that come up. And sometimes it feels more important to share I think personal parts of our journey. So there, I just think there's always that caveat of the episodes we promise you will happen at some point. But I'm never going to guarantee it.
I love that. Yeah.
That anything is next, even though I said it is.
Yeah. I mean, it is two friends, one chat. I mean, we just chat sometimes.
That's what we do.
Part of it. Yep. Yep. Which is wonderful, actually. Well, I think on that note, I'm really grateful that people hang out with us, and I hope feel empowered and validated. Gosh, that's so important. And that you know that you're really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really important. So,
so important.
Thank you for hanging out with us.
Yeah. You guys are the best.
My absolute best.
We love you.
Very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye. Bye.